I'm glad the devil don't have you no more. And the love of Jesus is very apparent. And we just praise God for the privilege and the honor. And listen, if we had our way, we'd be here too often. You'd get tired of us. I have no idea what the Master's going to have us do next. I really don't. But, well, I've learned one thing. I got to tell you, Kathy, you messed me up with that song. Don't drink out of that one? Okay. Thank you, Lord. That song, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Now, there's a lot of songs that I love. Amazing Grace. Don't you love that song? From my Baptist roots, that old rugged cross. I still love that song. But if I had to pick just one out of all the wonderful songs that are out there, that would probably be the one that would best describe my life. I'd rather have Jesus. I ran after the world and after money and after prestige for so many years. I didn't even get saved till I was 33. And there's one thing about Gary Carpenter you ought to know, because I sure know it. If Gary Carpenter gets in any way what he deserves, it's going to be hell. Because I was a sinner, big time. And I mean, I got out there. And I know on my own, there is nothing to merit heaven for me. In 1994, I had an event happen that nearly took my life. It was so close. And I know that if the devil had had his way, that would have been my last day on planet Earth. You know, and something happens to you. Only thing I can tell you, I still can't put it in words. I just know that from that day till now, something in me knows that I'm living on borrowed time. I'm living only by the grace of my Master. And I want you to know, as far as I'm able, with all that's in me, whatever time I have left on this planet, it belongs to Him. Amen. It belongs to Him. And we'd love to do a lot of things. But there's only one thing I do to the best of my ability, and that's whatever He says to me, that's what I'm going to be doing. Whatever He says to me, that's where I'm going to be. Jesus says, where I am, there you'll find my servant also. And I intend to be His servant, don't you? Amen. Amen. Well, now, I promised you all, because the Holy Spirit told me that because we're having an all-week conference and most people have to go to work the next day, that the teaching portion of these messages would end about 9 o'clock. However, this is Friday night. All bets are off. You don't have to go to work in the morning, most of you. And if any of you do, we'll just pray an extra dose of grace. This tonight's meeting is so important. And we're going to pray in a minute like I normally pray, but now this one especially. See, because when you've spent thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hours in the prayer closet shut up with the Holy Ghost, He has so... My cup runneth over. I mean, I'm sitting there, my brain is going like thoughts, like machine gun bullets in a good way. Don't forget to say this, and gosh, this is important, and don't forget to mention that. And see, I've already learned from past experience, I can't go by any of that. There's so many things that I consider vitally important. As soon as this service is over, I'll think of 30 things I should have said to you. You know? So, what can we do? We have maybe an hour and a half, maybe. What can we do but yield to the Holy Ghost? See, only He knows out of all those things that He's taught me, all of the things I'd like to be able to say. He knows what's most vitally important. He knows every person here. He knows where you are. He knows God's plan for your life. So we're going to pray and ask the Father to have the Holy Spirit lead me very precisely tonight so that you can dine to the full at the Master's table. Is that okay? Extend your faith this way. Now, Father, you heard what I said. You know my heart. Father, only your Spirit is the teacher of the body of Christ anyway. Now, Father, once more, I yield myself unto you. As far as I'm concerned, Gary Carpenter is leaving the building now. I present this vessel to you, spirit, soul, and body, Father. Father, all I ask is that you have your way, have your perfect will here with these people. I yield to your Spirit now. And Father, by your Spirit, I'm asking that you bring up from that reservoir the things that you've taught me that are most crucial for this hour, most crucial for this region, those things that are paramount to taking these people across into the next level of glory where you want them to go. Father, I thank you for making my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I might speak forth the oracles of God, the very mind of Christ, with such simplicity and boldness and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Father, I ask that you anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve. Yes, sir. That you quiet their soul. I hear the words. He says he's going to lead you by the still waters tonight. Father, that you quiet supernaturally, quiet their soul. By those still waters where the pressures of the week and the problems of the day, for now, they vanish. For they can give their full attention to what you would say, not only to the church at large, to this local body, but also to each and every individual believer under the sound of my voice, both here in person and by tape. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you now. I know that souls are at stake. I know this is so important. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't, y'all, I'm telling you that song, hang on. I'm going to mess up the sound man now. Let's try that. Hello? Well, better to try and get it over with and deal with that the whole service. I wasn't going to do this, but I would be in disobedience if I didn't. See, this is the last night. And even if we didn't teach tonight, you've already received enough. I told you the first night, did I not? I warned you. You were not going to have trouble understanding.
Amen.
I warned you, you're going to be accountable. I said, if you want to know your call, if you really want to know your place in the body of Christ, you're going to know how to find out. Did I lie to you?
No.
You know what to do, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, that overview that he did last night, what I call sent from heaven. Boy, that pretty well tells it like it is. I don't know how many people later were saying, I think I'm the suitcase person. I think I might be the suitcase person. Well, that's why he teaches it like that. And tonight, somehow the Spirit of the Living God is going to encapsulate all this. But before we get into that, and I know precisely the main thing that we've got to deliver tonight, once more, he wants me to bring you to a level of accountability again. You've got to understand how important this is to Jesus. Now, I've already mentioned the fact that it was the very fact that his life and his ministry would be multiplied in you. You are the joy that sustained him on the cross. That's why he did it. If he did not think that his life and his ministry would be multiplied millions of times over, then through believers, then just think about it. It would have been better for him to have stayed. Think about this. All right? We mentioned the fact that we could have 15 kids in wheelchairs with all kinds of crippled diseases, you know, muscular dystrophy and horrible things. Children be 5, 6 years old, so you can't blame it on their faith or lack of. And you already know we could take them to all the super churches on earth. We could spend a year doing that and getting hands laid on them till the hair was rubbed off. And you know as well as I do, maybe one or two by the gifts might get healed. The vast majority would not. But now let me ask you, had Jesus not endured the cross, and was, if he was still physically alive on earth today, and had a headquarters set up, like say in Jerusalem, and you had a crippled child. Now, and he was still doing the same works today, just like you read about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, and you had a child in a wheelchair like that. Now, you would start, wouldn't you try and get an appointment for your child to get in and see Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And it might, I can imagine his schedule would be pretty full, don't you? They might say, well, yes, he'll be able to see your child in 2 years, see? Because there's just one of them. There's just one of them. And you do notice, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they had to come to where he was. You see that? Either that or send an emissary, somebody to speak on behalf of one if they couldn't come. Well, let me ask you this. Now, we've taken all 15 of these children to the super churches everywhere, in America, around the earth. A few of them, maybe, would get healed. The vast majority would not. But let me ask you this. If we got an appointment for all 15 of those children, one at a time, to see Jesus, how many of them do you think would be out of the wheelchairs after he got through it? Every single one of them. And that is exactly what he intends for the body of Christ. None diminished, exactly the same. That's what he intends. And I got to tell you this or I'll be disobedient. The transparency is a wonderful thing. Yeah, can y'all tell that Sue and I and Aaron are pretty plain folks? You do know I didn't understand any of this stuff back in 1992. Before I made that decision to start praying in other tongues, the fact that I'm able to communicate this to you, and you can tell I'm just an average man. How did I learn all that? If there's nothing to this praying in tongues stuff, if praying in tongues is not a revelation gift, how did I learn all that? How did I get it? I got it from the Holy Ghost. I've never heard these examples from any place else. You get them with the Holy Ghost. Now, if he can jerk an old Oklahoma boy out of the trucks and make a teacher in the body of Christ out of him, there's hope for you. We're just as plain as they come. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. And that's been his intent the whole time. The teacher's here. But the body of Christ has not been taught how to yield to the teacher. You can't say that about yourselves anymore, can you? This is the part of transparency. Let me tell you what drives me. Several years ago, when you minister like we do, there's times when there's all different kinds of meetings. These are what Kenneth Hagin would call believers' meetings. See, this is not the kind of meeting normally where you do an evangelistic type call. People that come on a Friday night to church are already saved. Not only are they saved, they're hungry. See, these are believers' meetings here, and there's other kinds. And then, sometimes we have healing, there'll be a healing crusade type meeting, and you'll run an ad in the paper, bring the sick and the demon possessed. Hello? Well, that's what those kind of meetings are for. Several years ago, we were praying, we were at a meeting, and still fairly young in all these things. And I remember this young couple, let's see, how old were they? Let me see somebody about that age. Oh, I don't know, this couple right over here. I'm sorry, my mind is not with names right now, but the blue dress and the kind of green shirt, about that age. Good-looking couple, and they come into the church. And trouble was they were pushing their daughter in a wheelchair. Cutest little thing. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Body all twisted up. And to be honest with you, the parents, I think, had been in so many prayer lines. When I looked in their eyes, they looked pretty dead. There didn't seem to be much hope. You know, after you've been in prayer line after prayer line, they were just doing it almost like, what else can we do? But that little girl's eyes, I'll never forget them. I can tell you, she didn't say a word to me, but those eyes, what they said, and here they're bringing her up. Here's Sue and I standing there. And I'm looking at that, me and that little girl, we just made eye contact real strong. And here's what her eyes were saying. Because she knew what was about to happen. She'd been in a lot of prayer lines to be prayed for. Her eyes were saying, "Are you the one, mister? Are you the one? Are you the servant through whom Jesus will be able to get me out of here?" Hope was still in that little girl's eyes. Boy, I'm telling you, I prayed. Pastor Dave would say, I milked every cell of my being for faith. I turned myself inside out.
I prayed. I did everything that I know to do. That little girl did not get healed. And the look that she gave me afterwards, I'll never forget it. It's like, well, I did, you know, you must not be the one. And one more level of hope was killed in her. Those eyes to this day, that's what keeps me in the prayer closet. I mean, I got a good body. The devil's attacked me. I've had polio. I've had terminal cancer. I've already been given 6 months to live. That was years ago. How am I doing? You know? I was paralyzed when I was age 5 on my right side, and the diagnosis was I'd never walk. Paralyzed. Couldn't even talk. Couldn't open or close my eye. Nothing. Paralyzed for 6 months. Polio. Thank God it was in 52 and the Salk vaccine had been found, and I was fortunate enough to have a good Baptist daddy that would not take no for an answer, because the doctors were saying they didn't think it was polio. They said it was some kind of pneumonia. My good old Baptist daddy says, pneumonia don't paralyze a boy. You keep checking. It ain't pneumonia. You find out what it is. And thank God for him, because if they hadn't, if I'd been in a wheelchair my whole life. They got it just in time. But see, I'm able to walk like you're able to walk. Our bodies, you's able to get here tonight. You're able to think. You're able to listen. You know? And because of that, yeah, we have compassion on the little kids, you know? But boy, what if it was you in that wheelchair? What if it was you locked up in that body? What if it was you or your mind couldn't even comprehend the things that we're talking about? Boy, would you want people to go into their prayer closet? Would you want people to get in there until their gift got empowered? Until somebody could get you out of that wheelchair? That's the seriousness of what we're talking about, and that's what Jesus intended the whole time for the church. He intends for every person you pray for, all of them, to be healed. First time. Every time. I've checked it out myself 6 ways from Sunday. Nobody ever came to Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but what they did not get, what they come for. Now, sometimes there were some things that had to happen, but he never said, it's not the Father's will to heal you. He never said, it's not God's time to heal you.
That's right.
None of those things. A lot of religious stuff going on. Please read your Bible more than you watch TV. Please pray more than you read books. Please let the Holy Ghost become your teacher. He'll paint an image of Jesus so pure in your spirit that religion cannot defile it. I know what happens when Jesus gets loose. Not only do the lost get saved, but the blind see and the lame walk, the deaf hear and the maimed are made whole. And I mean, He will heal them all. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. And He flat intends for it to be multiplied in every believer on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Please take seriously. What if it was you, or what if it was your child in the wheelchair? How serious would this message be for you? Okay. All right. I see He wanted that on tape, and I hope you listen to these tapes more than once. Something will happen to you if the same vision gets in you that's in me. And it's in Pastor Jim and in Pastor Dave. Let me ask you, what is worth spending your life for? A lot of people give their whole life for money, fame, fortune. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather give my life for this. If that's what kept Him on that cross, if that's what was in His heart, and that was the joy that sustained Him, that someday His life and His ministry would be multiplied through us, I believe He ought to have what He paid the price for us to have. I believe we ought to walk in it and not be complacent, not be neutralized by the world, not be diverted by all the things that the enemy throws. And I believe we ought to press towards the mark, like Paul said. Forgetting those things that are behind, this one thing I do, I press towards that mark, the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay.
I think I've made the point. And I want you to hear that every time you listen to these series. That's why I wanted it on the tape. I need to hear it again. I need to hear it myself. Okay, here we go now. But fasten your seatbelts. We're departing the realm of religion at this moment. Spaceship life is blasting off now. What is our inheritance? I don't know what I used to think. I thought, well, getting saved, and that is part of our inheritance. Getting healed would be part of our inheritance. Being prospered would be part of our inheritance. Walking in power would be part of our inheritance. But if you spend a lot of time with the Holy Ghost, see, when people first come to the prayer center, probably the same way when they come here, they normally have one major problem. What is your problem? Well, my problem, Gary, is I can't hear God. That's their problem. If they will do the message, if they will do the things that we've talked about this week, including more than we could talk about this week, like meditation of the Word, fasting, other things, if they will do that, about 6 months to a year down the road, they're going to have a lot bigger problem than they came with the first time. And that problem is I heard God. And you're not going to believe what He said to me. See, because when God shows up, He departs the ordinary. You know God believes He is God? That's the doggondest thing. I mean, He believes He's God. He thinks like we ought to believe Him. He thinks like if we obey Him, anything is possible. He doesn't talk like humans. He talks like God. Well, I was praying, and the thing of it is, you'll get to hearing Him clearer and clearer and clearer. You'll go through some impasses. That's why we talked about that the other night. But what I'm going to read you, I mean, eventually you'll get to where there's times, and I'm not saying it's like this all the time, but every now and then I have what I call now a face-to-face meeting with the Holy Ghost. Do you remember in the Old Testament that it said that God would come down to the tent of meeting, and He would visit with Moses face-to-face, as a man would his friend? Every now and then I'll start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit so clear. It's just like somebody else, just like Jim talking with me or Sue talking with me. I keep a little recorder with me, and when that happens, I just start speaking what I'm hearing in that recorder. And then later I transcribe, you know, type into the computer what's on the recorder. Well, one day I was just praying and at the ugly building, and had one of those face-to-face encounters. And what I'm about to read to you, I'm going to read it word for word, because as far as I'm concerned, it's quoting the voice of the Holy Ghost. He taught me what our inheritance is. You ready? Quote, His life, the life of Christ in fullness, is the land of promise which I have given unto my children. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread to appropriate that life in its fullness as your own, I will surely give it unto you. His life in its fullness is your inheritance. Receive the abundance of this grace. Receive it as your own. Possess it as your land to be inherited. Receive the abundance of this grace which I have provided for my children. Receive the abundance of His righteousness, for it is truly yours. All that I have given Him, the Holy Spirit shall show unto you as being your inheritance to possess. He will lead you step by step. He will go before you and drive your enemies out from before your face. And you shall inherit the very life of Christ in fullness, says the Lord. This is my plan. For this purpose I provided the image that you are to be changed into. And he's talking about Jesus Christ, the one we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. For this purpose I sent Him, who is the express image of myself, that you may see the land before you and possess it as your own. It is yours as a gift. It is yours by inheritance. It is yours to possess by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit it shall be yours. I've already given you this land. The work has already been accomplished in Him. The only thing remaining is for you to possess it by faith. Isn't that something? You remember all those types and shadows of the promised land from the Old Testament? God plainly says, I have given you the land. And at that moment when he first said that, how much of it did they possess? Not a square inch, nothing. See, that promised land there is a type and a shadow of life. What did Jesus say? The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. From the time of Adam's fall for 4,000 years, there had not been a human being on the face of the planet with the very life of God within them. When I think about God looking down over the sea of humanity before Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, now here we have all these human beings. And it's almost like Genesis 1, you know, spiritually looking at their spirits, which were all dead, every spirit in man on the face of the earth had the law of sin and death in it. It's almost like the earth was void and without form, and darkness covered the earth. There was not a single human on the planet that had that light, the life of God on the inside. So what did God do? He turns to the second member of the Godhead and in essence packages life in human flesh, and it's conceived like a seed in the womb of Mary. That seed grew up, matured, and thank God it's recorded for us what happens on earth in a human where the life of God is in him, anointed by the Holy Ghost. That's what we see, is the single seed there grown to maturity, Jesus Christ, the life of God grown up, anointed now by the Holy Ghost, going about doing good and destroying all the works of the devil. We see that, don't we? But then Jesus said, a seed, as long as it abides alone, is only one. But if that seed dies and is buried in the ground, then when it comes, basically he didn't say resurrected, but that's really what he's talking about. It's resurrected unto new life, and it produces a harvest of many seeds, each capable of doing precisely what the original did. Can you see that's what he's talking about? Later on in this, which the same teaching here, in fact, let me see if I can find it, because I couldn't say it as good as he said it. Let me see if I can find this little paragraph. This is incredible. I say to you, have possessive hope. Hope that sees his life as your own. For without him you can do nothing. His life has been given freely by my grace, and I have imparted that same life into you. See it as your own. Every attribute of his, see it as your own. See yourself as beholding him in the mirror of your own life. And as you behold him in the mirror, the mystery of Christ in you is brought forward by the power of my Spirit and not your labor. Your labor is to see him, to behold him, and to possess him in your hope. On another occasion he said, I have spread before your face the life of my Son as your land to be possessed. Do you remember the type and shadow from the Old Testament? When God says, I have given you the land, was he lying? He had, didn't he? But did you notice there was warfare in order for them to possess it? All those strongholds, all those, you know, the Amorites, the Canaanites, termites, and all the otherites, you know. What is that a type and a shadow of? You ready for this? Religion. Strongholds of religion. Strongholds of natural thinking. That's going to have to come down. Again, the natural man says things like 2 plus 2 make 4. 5 plus 2 make 7. You can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see that the life of Jesus doesn't believe he's limited to 5 plus 2 make 7. Because he took five loaves and two fishes and fed 5,000 men, plus women, you know, wives and children, probably 10 to 15,000 people. Five plus twos, no limits. And what he's saying is, that life in its fullness is yours. I intend to grow that up. Remember, we talked one night this week about growing up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's trying to get the body of Christ to quit being religious. Religious always points to you, your faults. You slimy dog worm, you. Always hitting you over the head with religion. Always giving you formulas that you can't keep. Always giving you, you know, by the time they get done with you, you're ready for that just a little cabin in the corner of glory. If I just make it in at all, you know. And see, that's religion's whole game. How in the world are you going to grow up to challenge Satan over a kid in a wheelchair that it's Satan that's got that kid bound? Now, just get it straight.
Yeah.
Satan is keeping that kid in a wheelchair and mocking the church. Mocking the work of Jesus Christ, saying, I put her there and you can't get her out. Quiet in this church now. See, that stuff starts getting so real, you get mad. Get angry about it. I think, my God, Jesus paid the price he paid. And the church, we've let religion brainwash us to where we believe the devil's lie instead of God's word. I get mad. That kind of stuff there is what drives me back into the prayer closet. Till I apprehend that for which Jesus apprehended me. Till I can grow up, quit thinking like some kind of religious dog, and start understanding God is my Father. Jesus is my brother. Elder brother, thank you very much. Jesus is my Lord. He owns my life. I'm not a hireling. You know, hirelings get paid. Slaves are owned. I choose to be a slave. He didn't make me one. I chose to be one. Now, he takes real good care of us, and that's up to him. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to be his bond slave. If he sends me to a place where it's not air conditioned, and I love air conditioning, but I'm going anyhow. I'm going anyhow, see? But what he intends is for his ministry to be multiplied in us. Now, most of what we've talked about this week is the soul. Remember that vision? And if any of you weren't here, we have it on tape. You just have to get the tape. Okay, yes, sir. We'll go there. Go to Romans 12, verse 2. We're going to look at a real familiar verse, but I think it might mean a little more to you now. Romans 12, 2. Remember that night, and while you're even going there, remember that night that I first did that thing about the Holy of Holies?
Yeah.
Said, here's a curtain right here. And we use the verse from 1 Corinthians 14:14 that says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. And that little analogy helped, didn't it? I mean, that's representing the Holy of Holies. That's what your spirit is, the part of you that's created righteousness, in righteousness and true holiness. So what's really happening there is the spirit man is going in and being taught by the Holy Ghost. And your soul basically just takes a chair outside and it's just having to yield to this because it can't go in there. I mean, have y'all know there's still some unholiness in most of our souls? Okay, you understand, it can't go in there. Besides that, it would pray all the wrong stuff anyway because all of us start out carnal. I don't care if you are born again. You want a car and you want a car. That's all. You want a new car. You know, and you want this and you want that. That's the way everybody starts. Okay? But what happens is your spirit goes in there and it starts getting trained by the Holy Ghost, the only teacher that's been sent from heaven that's qualified to teach that man because that man did not originate on this planet. The life that's in you originated in another world. It originated with God. And there are no limits. It's not bound by the physics of this world. All you got to do is look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at the one that was full stature, walking on the water, stopping storms, multiplying loaves and fishes, changing water into wine. Man, you're talking the physics of somewhere else. He's not bound by the physics of this world, is he? Neither is that new creature on the inside of you. See, now that's the thing. The process, though, now you notice who it is that decides every day how much time that new nature gets to be taught? Who is it that makes that decision? It's your soul. You decide every day
if you're going to pray at all, and if you do, how much you're going to pray, that all those decisions are in the soul. Now, the whole process, though, if you're ever going to really grow up, because how else would I put this? When you start, your soul is boss. You got that? Your soul is boss. We taught on that this week. You trained yourself to live by your soul, and it's operating that way because that's how you trained yourself. Get the earlier tapes. The goal is for the soul. The soul needs to have the same testimony of John the Baptist. I must decrease. I must decrease. And this new man on the inside, Christ in me, the new nature in me, he must increase. He must grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the soul's over here. More and more, as you yield to this process and let the Holy Ghost be the teacher, your soul, little by little by little, will take the role of submission to the new man. And you'll become one of those who is led by the Spirit, led by the new nature, not your soul anymore. And the Bible says about you in Romans 8, if you ever come to the place where you're being led by the new nature, now you've become a mature son of God. One of sufficient age to participate in the family business. See, this is not a religion, it's a family. God and sons, the family, the bottom line is souls. You got to play. It doesn't mean everybody's an evangelist. But wherever he has you operating in the body of Christ, you are a cog in the machine. You are a part of the body. Your part is as vital as anybody else's part. And he will supernaturally equip you to do your part so every joint, every ligament of the body supplies what it's supposed to. We can get this world saved. Jesus can come back. And we can all go home. Amen? Got that? Now, I mentioned to you about opposing thoughts as being one of those impasses that you're going to have to get past. Well, we're going to get into some real opposing thoughts tonight. But see, because everything that we've taught so far, tongues is primarily a revelation gift. He becomes your teacher. And he educates your spirit first. Like I've said the other night, he's training and teaching your spirit. As your spirit understands these things, the Holy Spirit is the teacher of your new nature. But listen to me, your new nature is the teacher of your soul. It's almost like the new nature, it finishes a class and it goes, wow, a heavy revy. I got a good revelation today. You know, a heavy revy. And it gets excited. Mine does. And it can't even wait till class is over. It'll open the curtains. Hey, soul, check this out. And that's when one of those, it'll come either by vision or by revelation. It can come by voice. There's a lot of different, sometimes a dream at night. But that's your new nature communicating back to your soul in a way your soul can understand it. What it learned in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. But by that process, I'm telling you, when that starts happening, your soul that has been trained by religion for the most part, I'm not just saying that because of the kind of church, all Christians, everywhere, whatever flavor they are. We all been believing a bunch of junk. How do you know that? The kids ain't getting out of the wheelchairs. That's how that. We all believe in junk. I don't care what flavor you come from. That'll make any difference unless you're getting them out. Now, if you're getting them out, I want to come sit in your meetings. You with me? Okay. So what starts happening, the new nature, the Holy Ghost is only, he is called the Spirit of Truth, is he not? Now, he's not going to be teaching you any junk, is he? But the trouble is, when he starts teaching you, your spirit, man, it's capable and qualified to learn. It doesn't have any problem receiving stuff from the Holy Ghost. It's that soul. And he's going to start telling you things. Hey, check this out. And your soul goes, can't be. No, that can't be true. Now, I'm going to give you one example from the Old Testament, and I'm going to walk you through some examples tonight. Now, here's the perfect example. You know, Abraham is called the father of the faith. In Romans, Paul exhorts us to walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, who, as like God, called those things which be not as though they were. Amen? Now, think about Abram and Sarah in a practical way. They've been married a long time. Sarah has always been barren. They've never been able to have children, even when Sarah was young and beautiful. They'd never had any children. Well, now it plainly tells you, if you read it, that
How did she put that? It was past the time of women with her. And there's a little phrase that she says in there that lets you know it was past the time for Abram too. Because when God comes and says, about this time next year, she's going to have a baby of your loins. She makes this one little sentence. I mean, God is so good. She says, well, shall I have pleasure of my husband again? That's as far as we're going with that. This is a family service. That tells you volumes right there. It tells you volumes right there, doesn't it? All right. So this is an impossible situation. Now, think about it from like Abram's point of view. Boy, no wonder God just really, he loved Abram. Abram loved God, you know. But anyway, God comes to this man. Now, they've been married however many years. They're about 100 years old now. They've never been able to have children. Now, in the natural, it's past the time, physically, for them to have children. And God comes. And that's what I mean. God comes and he doesn't care a lick about any of that. He'll just come talk to you like he's God. Like he believes he can do anything. I mean, I don't know about him. He thinks that way. And we read this and we don't really think about it much, you know. But he comes to Abram and he says, your name shall no more be Abram, but it shall be Abraham. Which means what? I am the father of a multitude, or I am the father of many nations. Now, we read that and we think, yeah, I've heard that 10,000 times. Now, you ain't. Listen. Listen to me. When God come and changed his name, now, my name is Gary, okay? What if God come and changed my name to Fred? Now, and I've known Jim Martin since 1997, and one day Jim calls me on the phone and he says, hey, Gary, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing okay, but I need to let you know I'm not Gary anymore. You're not Gary anymore? No. My name is Fred. Can I talk to Gary? No. I know I'm the one you're calling, but I am no longer Gary. I am Fred. See, what we don't recognize is Abram, when God changed his name, everybody that had known him in the desert forever, don't you know that as he went around and maybe he went and over to the next tent, which was over the sand dune, and they're going to go visit some friends, you know, that they know? And then here they come. And this friend that's known him for years says, Abram, my good friend, wonderful to see you. And he says, well, it's good to see you too, but you need to know something. What? Well, what? I'm not Abram anymore. You're not Abram anymore? My name is Abraham. And of course, in Hebrew, names carry meanings. So when he says that, the guy listening to him that's known this old coot forever, I mean, him and that old woman, they've been living out there, you know. And he knows he ain't got no children. And this guy has to tell his close friend that he's known forever, I am no longer Abram. I am now the father of a multitude. Now, what's a guy going to think? Been out in the sun just a little too long. I think they better check the top of that tent. Too much sun is getting through there. You know, Abram, you've been wearing your cap out in the sun. Something's going on, boy. You're losing it. See, we don't recognize when God come and changed his name. He just did it. And he would not call himself anything else but what God called him. Now, that's the faith of Abraham. Boy, we never did read Romans 12, too, did we? Let's read it real quick because we're going somewhere else. But you need to see this, see? Tongues, the tongues part is a revelation gift. That's a teaching gift. And I'll tell you right now, even that right there is going to start working change at your core. Your priority lists will start changing. Okay? But if you're really going to change on the outside, Paul tells us in no uncertain how you make the real change. And it's in Romans 12, too. Boy, this is what we want. We do not want to be conformed to this world, do we? But be you transformed by the renewing of your what? Now, is the mind in your spirit man? Or is it in your soul? Now, isn't that something? Now, let's don't dissociate it from what I've been talking about. Watch this. The spirit man is being trained by the Holy Ghost. Your spirit has a mind. It's being taught by the Holy Ghost. That's what's going on. It's being taught. Now, it's going to turn around and start communicating what it's been taught to your soul. And if you're going to change, it hinges on, will your soul bow its knee, give up what it's always believed, and receive as truth what it's learning from the Spirit of God? If you're willing to do that, you'll change. And if your soul says, nope, my daddy didn't believe it that way, my granddaddy didn't believe it that way, and I refuse to accept that, you're not going to change. And the little children will never get out of the wheelchairs. Not through your hands, they won't. Okay? Can you see the process? That's what he's talking about. Change in this realm. See, you got to understand, in the realm of the Spirit, your soul is completely, your soul is the heir of God. Your spirit man, the part of you that got born again, is the heir of God. And in the realm of the Spirit, that's where all the authority is. But we're living on the material side. We're over here in the material solid earth. And on this side of that veil, your soul is in authority. That's why, by the way, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Until there's a new heavens and a new earth, what you say, what you do from the realm of this soul, that's where the authority is. That's why if your soul will not bow the knee to the revelation it receives by the Spirit, you're not going to change. All right? Now, keeping all this in mind, let's go over to Philemon. In your Bibles, that's where the pages are still new. It's right before the book of Hebrews. That'll help you. Hebrews is a big book. And it's the little book right in front of it, if I remember right. Oh, I hope I... Hey, hallelujah, it's still there. Glory to God. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Now, have we been taught some neat things this week? I enjoy it myself. See, it's good for me to do this. It redoes it in me. It reteaches me. Keeps it to the forefront of my mind. But listen, you all, it's not the hearer of the word that is blessed. It's the doer of the word that's blessed in all of his deed, right? How could we appropriate what we've learned? Well, number one, if you don't increase or change your prayer life, and I'm specifically talking praying in tongues, I failed you, and I wasted your time. And in another way, you wasted mine. And in another way, we all wasted Jesus's. Because that's what it's all about. We're never going to be able to do this without the supernatural teacher, the supernatural trainer, the supernatural equipper, and that's the Holy Ghost. You got that? So that's one thing. Dear God, I pray that these tapes have somehow motivated you to get you back in that prayer closet more than you have been. All right? And then what's going to happen there, everything that we've talked about is going to start happening with you. You're going to start being taught. You're going to start understanding things you've never understood before. Your spirit's going to get it first, and it's going to communicate it to your soul, and it's going to be up to you to make it past every stronghold, get past every impasse. But ultimately, what we're after is getting the kids out of the wheelchairs, isn't it? Or whatever exactly your call is, ultimately it's the release of the power of God in the earth. That's what this is all about. So what we're saying is, it's not just enough to have to understand these things. We want these things, like, okay, I have faith in these things, Brother Gary. I mean, you went through the scriptures. You showed me. I believe what you said. I have faith in all these things. But how does that ever translate to power? How does it ever translate from knowledge to becoming effectual in the earth? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Philemon, we're just going to look at one verse, verse 6. This is just another way of stating the faith of Abraham. Watch this. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That means that it may have an effect. That means that it will produce results. Is that not what we're after? Okay, now how? that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Got that? Now, how do you acknowledge something? Sue, would you please stand up? I acknowledge to eat. Turn around and see how pretty you are. I stand and I bear witness and I give testimony and I acknowledge that next to Jesus Christ, this is the best gift that God has ever given me. And I acknowledge this woman as my wife. Hallelujah. Aaron, would you please stand up? I acknowledge that this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Well, how do you acknowledge something? What? You speak and you say and you acknowledge. Isn't that how we acknowledge anything, isn't it? I acknowledge that this is my friend Jim. I acknowledge that this is my friend Kathy here. See, that's how you acknowledge anything. So what he's saying here is that we don't just know these things. He says you're going to have to begin acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, your soul is going to have a problem with that. Oh, not my soul, Brother Gary. Trust me. Your soul is going to... I'm fixing to show you right now. Because what's going to happen, the Holy Ghost is going to start telling you strictly from the realm of truth. Now, let's go back to the curtain for just a minute. This will help you. Because I'm going to lead you in some confessions. And some of these are going to be so strong that the religious devils are going to have a heart... They're going to scream bloody murder. I don't know what else to say. I mean, when he started first having me do this, I had a horrible time. Well, think about Abram. Go back to Abram. He's never had a child of his own. They've been married all this time. They've never had a child. God says, I want you to start saying about yourself what I say. And I say, you are the father of a multitude. Now, doesn't that sound like lying? But yet, he's just saying what God said about him, isn't he? All right? The Holy Spirit is teaching your new man hour by hour that you led him what God says about you. Your new man is going to start communicating that to your soul. And if your soul is going to go two ways, it's either going to reject it and be like most of defeated Christianity, or it's going to have the faith of Abraham and says, whatever God says about me, that's what I say. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to start with a dandy. You ready? And another thing... Now, keep before you this. Yes, sir. Two things. As we make these confessions, we're not saying you have arrived there yet. When Abraham started confessing that he was the father of many nations, did he already have a child? No. He's possessing what God has given. Got that? Same thing with the promised land. Now, if we use the analogy that the promised land, see the seed of life that he's planted on the inside of us, it has the potential to grow up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in a way, it's like the promised land spread before us. What we're doing now is by faith starting to possess that land. You got that? Now your soul is going to go, uh-uh, on some of these. So this will help you. This is how he got me past it. Now, let's take the spirit man. I'm on this side of the veil, okay? What does Ephesians tell us about this guy? He is created in righteousness and true holiness. God didn't say that about your soul, did he? No, he said it about this guy, the spirit man, right? What we're going to be doing here is like the spirit man who has learned these lessons. He's parting the curtain and he's saying, so will you allow me to speak for once what the Holy Ghost has been saying about me? And the soul goes, okay. So these confessions we're about to make are being made from the position of your new man. I know you're not already like this. God knows you're not already like this. But he knows that that creature he put on the inside of you is already like this. And the soul is going to have to start being renewed to that so that we can change and no longer be conformed to this world. Ready? Say, Gary, why are you doing so much preparation? Well, wait till we start saying these. Sue, go start the car in case the prophet rocks start coming, honey. We want the car idling and ready to go. You with me? Now remember, we're saying it from the position of the new man. Okay? Now the soul is going to utter the words, but everything we're saying is from the position of the new man on the inside. Got that? Just repeat after me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Your life
is my
inheritance.
Jesus,
I am as dead to sin,
as you are.
I'm sorry, I was ducking in case any prophet rock started. Did you hear what you just said? Well, now, wait a minute. Whose life is in you? How free from sin is that life? So how free would you be? See, the soul going, huh? The soul is only partially renewed in all of us, to varying degrees, depending. Okay? And the flesh, it ain't going to be saved until the sound of the trump. You got that? We're not talking about your flesh. We're not talking about the unrenewed portion of your soul. We're speaking from the position of the new man. He has got to grow up. And what we're doing is allowing that voice to speak what God's Word says about that new man. And your soul is speaking it, and in that process being renewed to it. Okay? You will become like this, just like Abraham spoke it and spoke it and spoke it, and then the promise was manifested. If you'll start talking like this, acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ, start talking like that, eventually you'll be walking like that. You'll possess the land. Here's another one. Jesus,
I am as raised from the dead
as you are.
Jesus,
I hate sin
as much as you do.
Jesus,
I love righteousness
as much as you do.
Jesus,
I am as holy as you are.
I'll
back up on that one. Y'all are doing pretty good. I'm not even seeing any angry looks. Do you understand we've departed far now from the realms of religion? This is what God intended the whole time. That new man he put on the inside of you is created in righteousness and true holiness. It is the seed of Christ, for crying out loud. What God, y'all, what he has done this week, he's been unveiling to a large degree the greatest mystery of all that Paul says, Christ in you. I like to say it, the new nature in you. Your hope, your image of glory. Now what we're doing is giving voice to what we've seen in our promised land and possessing that land. You liking it? Let's go on a little more. We'll see if you do. Let's say that one again. Jesus,
I am as holy
as you are.
Jesus,
I am as sanctified
from this world,
as you are.
Jesus,
I'm not of this world
any more than you are.
Jesus,
Satan has nothing in me.
Yeah, woohoo is right. Do you know that's absolutely true in your spirit? He has no handles. He keeps looking. You know, those handles are in the flesh. Those handles where, you know, what do you mean by handle? Well, he comes up and he says, stand up, baby. Comes up to you and he says, I want you to go sin. And he finds something in you where he can take you there. That's a handle, isn't it? See, in the flesh and in the soul. One of my handles, I have to watch it all the time, is coconut cream pie. That's a handle he can get. Coconut cream pie, just, you know, here we go. But in your spirit, you're as slippery as a greased pig in Oklahoma. There ain't no handles on you. Because that Jesus said Satan has, he says, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. That seed on the inside of you, the spirit on the inside of you, there ain't no handles on him either. He gave us the equipment to walk free. But you only, that becomes effectual as we begin to acknowledge what he's done. Got that? You want to say that one again? Let's say that one again. And the reason I say Jesus, in my mind when I do this, because the Bible says Jesus is the high priest of my confession. I see myself standing, and really what I see myself doing is, you know, the Bible says, as he is, so are we.
in this world. I'm beholding Him as in a mirror, like it says in the same book, for, or second, one of the Corinthians, chapter 3, where it says, as we behold Him, we are changed, behold His glory, we're changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm beholding Him in a mirror, and I'm declaring, Jesus, as You are, so am I in this world. And by that process, we're changed. Romans 12:2 tells us. That's little by little. And it's war, baby. I'm telling you, you go through all these confessions, I almost assure you, I am holy, I am sanctified, I'm set apart from this world. I bet you the next hour after you get done won't go by, and the devil's going to try and get you into some kind of sin. Something's going to happen. I mean, you might just be surfing the channel, and all of a sudden something you never would watch normally, and there you'd see it, you know, or something. And boy, I'm telling you, the devils are going to jump on your brain right about there, saying, you lying dog, you. You've been confessing that. You ain't like that. Now, just agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him. Because he's right. In your flesh and in the unrenewed part of your soul, that's correct. Don't let him trip you up with that. Because that's not really who you are. Who you are is the person that was born of God. And that person, that spirit on the inside, is righteous, is holy. And what's happening now, your soul is being conformed to it. So just go right straight. If you mess up, right after confessing these, go right to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? I like what Pastor Dave says. He says, listen, as long as you have the blood, tomorrow's not just a new day, honey. Tomorrow is your first day. You have no past. Amen?
That is right.
That doesn't mean He doesn't want us to incorporate change. This whole deal's about change. Okay? But you keep doing this, that image will get so strong on the inside, your soul will transform to it, and you, that soul and that spirit man will start ganging up on the flesh. And the flesh will want to do something, and the two of you will rise up and say, no, you ain't either. And it goes, yes, I am. No, you ain't. And get strong enough and mature enough to keep that flesh where it belongs, which is under your feet. Amen? I am preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. I am not a man like Paul. I do not count myself to have apprehended. We are on the same journey. Okay? He just had more time to teach me. I'm full time, so I can go do that. But anyway, here we go. All right? I like this one. And there's too many. We're not going to do them all. Okay? You get your own list. Go pray. Where do you think these come from? Say, I want your list. Well, you can have it, but you need to go pray and get your own list. The Holy Ghost will show you the same stuff. Besides, it's already all in there anyway. You know? A good place to start would be Kenneth Hagin's book. I think it's called In Him. A little mini book. It's $1. And it has all those in him, in whom scriptures. And all you do is make those into positive tense confessions. And that's what the Holy Ghost is going to teach your new nature. That's what He's going to teach you. Okay? Anyway, I like this one. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
I am as free from sin.
I am as free from sin.
As you are.
As you are.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I present my body to you.
I present my body to you.
As you present it to the Father.
As you present it to the Father.
I really like this one, Jim. Jesus.
Jesus.
I am as free.
I am as free.
From the law of sin and death.
From the law of sin and death.
As you are.
As you are.
Amen.
Amen. Well, whose nature is it that's in you?
Jesus.
How free is He from the law of sin and death?
Totally.
Whose nature is in you?
Jesus.
So how free are you from the law of sin and death?
Totally.
Now when your soul, if it'll keep acknowledging that, the day will come, you're going to step over some kind of a line. You're going to step over some kind of a line, and all of a sudden your soul is going to rise up from that defeated religious position. And it's going to look sin square in the face, which is going to be like Goliath. And it's going to say, this day I'm going to take your head from off your shoulders. Who is this sin that would... Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the living God? I'm going to take your head from off your shoulders this very day, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air. See that? You start rising. You spend time with the Holy Ghost, He's going to make a champion out of you. start possessing the life of Christ, which He's already given us. Now, it's war. You're going to have to fight every religious thing you've ever been taught. That's not truth. You're going to have to fight all of your failures in the past that prove to you you're no good. You're going to have to fight all of that, and just like taking the sword, you're going to have to put to death every enemy that is camped in your promised land. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't give us the type and shadow of war for nothing. Now, but let me ask you this. If we're going to go beyond normal Christianity, what I mean by that is powerless. I hate to say it that way, but it is. If we're going to go somewhere where we've not gone before, doesn't it make sense? We're going to have to do some things we haven't done before. See, and this isn't very churchy. This is not very churchy. You're getting where the rubber meets the road now. But if we can stay this course and get past every devil, get past every religious thing, pull down every stronghold and every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against this knowledge, we're going to possess the land. Our faith will become effectual in the earth. And the testimony about you will be just like it was about the first church. Those that have turned the earth upside down have come to Dayton also.
Yes.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. That's what it's about. And we'll go about 5 more minutes here, maybe 10. I want to get a few more of these that are really good for you. Chew on this. This is good food for you. You're getting vegetables and carrots and broccoli tonight, okay? Yeah. We'll get ice cream some other time, but right now we're having vegetables and broccoli and cauliflower. Now, say this. The sin nature
died on the cross with Jesus.
The sin nature
was destroyed.
I have no nature to sin.
There's nothing in me
that even wants to.
I'm so free from sin
that the thought of committing it
is laughable.
Don't you laugh when you think about the devil tempting Jesus to sin? Fat chance, devil. Go ahead. You know, try it.
Right.
Although he was tempted, plainly says, but we can't even hardly conceive of that. But we don't see ourselves that way, do we?
Right.
But that's the nature in us. And we're going to have to start acknowledging that if our faith in that is ever going to become effectual. Okay, just a few more here. I'll pick out my personal favorites here. Oh, I love this one. I am born of God.
I am born of God.
And I sin not.
And I sin not.
By the strength of my new nature.
By the strength of my new nature.
I keep myself.
I keep myself.
And that wicked one.
And that wicked one.
Touches me not.
Touches me not.
That's almost a direct quote from 1 John. That's what it's talking about. That new nature that He put on the inside of you. I like, see if y'all have heard this one before. I'm not confused.
I'm not confused.
About who I am.
About who I am.
Where I'm from.
Where I'm from.
Or why I'm here.
Why I'm here.
My life.
My life.
Did not originate. On this planet.
On this planet.
I am not of this world.
I am not of this world.
Jesus.
Jesus.
The love of the Father.
The love of the Father.
For people.
For people.
Is in me.
Is in me.
Just like it's in you.
Just like it's in you.
If you say that all the time, the next time you're about to file a lawsuit against somebody, you might have a little trouble. Let's say that one again, see. Jesus.
Jesus.
The love of the Father.
The love of the Father.
For people.
For people.
Is in me.
Is in me.
Just like it's in you.
Just like it's in you.
I have power over my body.
I have power over my body.
And I have power over my soul. Jesus,
you had
strength
to keep your body from sin.
I have strength
to keep my body from sin.
I am not on earth
to feed off of the world.
I am on earth
that the world
may feed
from the bread of life
within me. That's last night's message in a single sentence. Isn't that good? Now, here's one for you. Jesus,
your life in me
is more powerful
than all thrones,
dominions,
principalities,
powers,
or any name that is named.
For you created
all of those things.
The creature
cannot be dominated.
Excuse me. The creature
cannot dominate
the creator.
And the life of the creator
is in me.
Now the devil, is he a created being?
Yes. He's a fallen angel, isn't he?
Yes.
All right. Who is that? Whose life is that on the inside of you?
Jesus.
Who created all things?
Jesus.
And he's that life is in you?
Yes.
In a showdown, who's in trouble?
Yes.
Got that?
Yeah.
Boy, I mean that one right there. But that grows up on the inside of you, then you become like David with Goliath. You're not afraid at all. I saw Benny Hinn do this once. He says most Christians, you know how Benny Hinn on that platform, they always have a lot of shrubs and bushes and things, you know? And he was going, most Christians, oh God, the devil's after me. And they go down and they're hiding behind the bushes just to shaking. How many of y'all saw that example? Some saw. They're just a shaking. And he said, if the truth be known, if the Christians ever grow up and find out who we are, it'll be the devil over behind there shaking behind the bush. He said, oh God, the Christians in Dayton are awake again. What are they going to do to destroy my kingdom today?
Amen.
Well, I'm looking for that day.
Yes.
Instead of the devil, instead of us running around hiding from the devil, have him running around hiding from us.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, we're getting... Okay, this is my first closing. Y'all remember what that means, right? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Oh, now see... Now we're leaving the realm of charismaticism. And what I mean by that, and I am a charismatic, don't get me wrong, I am a faith man. Like, how does Dave put that? My underwear is made out of a Tulsa faith flag. Glory to God. I like prosperity as next as the next guy, and I like to be healed. I like to have nice things. I like prosperity. But see, my life doesn't hinge on that anymore.
Amen.
What my life hinges on more and more, especially the more I yield to that Holy Ghost, my meat, what pleases, what satisfies, what gives me my life is to do the will of Him that sent me. See, that's my meat. So I've added a couple in here that not real popular in the charismatic movement, but you're going to need it if you're going to really become His bond slave. It helps if you hold it like this.
I have strength of character.
Now, before I even read this, I'm not talking about sickness. Hey, anytime the devil approaches you head on with sickness, you take his head off. Sickness has no right in your body at all.
Yes.
Not now, not ever. And I'm telling you, I don't care how much religion says otherwise, God did not send it to you for any reason.
Amen.
You know how I can prove that? I can prove it to you in one sentence or two. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, if you want to know what the Father does, take a look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can you, in your wildest dreams, imagine Jesus coming up for any reason and putting cancer on a child? Well, if you don't see Jesus doing that, neither does the Father.
Amen.
Get over it.
Amen.
Get over it. Understand, cancer is your enemy. It's always your enemy, and it's always God's will to heal it.
Yes.
Okay? So when I'm talking, I'm going to mention pain and suffering, but what I'm talking about is the kind where persecution comes.
Yeah.
We have dominion over sickness. We have dominion over devils. We have dominion over poverty. We have dominion over a lot of natural forces, storms and hurricanes, a lot of things like that. But where you do not have dominion is over another human being.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus himself, he says, you resist not evil. Remember that? He's talking about, now he's not talking about the devil. He's talking about when men do these things to you. He warned us, didn't he?
Yeah.
The student is not above his master. If they've persecuted me, they've persecuted you. They'll persecute you also. When I say pain and suffering, I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about frontal assaults. You take the devil's head off if he approaches you with that. You just pull out the sword of the Spirit and just take his head off. But what I am talking about, Jesus wants to send you into some hard places. There's some mean sinners he wants to send you after.
There might be, you might be one he calls to go to Iran where they'll publicly hang you for just for handing out a tract about Jesus. How tough are you? See? You know, how about Paul and Silas in prison? That's the kind of, he's wanting to toughen us up. All right, so now, based on that, now I want you to understand what I'm talking about here. So, I have strength of character,
To endure pain and suffering.
Just like Jesus.
I endure to the end.
So that the will of the Father is done.
Even if it means
pain and suffering in the flesh. You understand what I mean by that?
Yes.
See, that's where your life really starts becoming His life. That's where His life starts becoming your life. That's where, like our friend Rocky in Bolivia, he's got how many kids? 4 kids, I believe. 4 little kids.
Yeah.
Little ones. He'd been in Bolivia 10 years. They're under almost constant threat of death. Yet that's where God's called him to. When he has a pulpit that's wooden, and the offering thing is made into the front of it. It's just a slot. So when offering time comes, the people come by, and they just walk by, and they put either an envelope or cash or whatever in there. Just like, that's just the way they do it at his church. Do you know hardly a service goes by where when they're opening those up, there won't be 1, 2, or more death threats in there. One of them one time, this would really get me. I raised 3 daughters. One of them says, "We're going to kidnap your daughter. And we're going to put her in a porno film. And then we're going to snuff her life out." That's weekly. Would y'all call that pain and suffering? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And for him to stay, I mean, most charismatics I know, are you kidding me? We're on the first boat out of there. But see, his life doesn't belong to him anymore. Why are you in Bolivia? That's where the Master sent me. And they're rescuing souls, getting them saved, getting them born again, getting them healed. And they're going to stay till Jesus... Do you know where he thinks Jesus is going to send him next? Morocco. And that's another one where they'll kill you for preaching the name of Jesus. Rocky would be a good guy for you to get to know. He'll probably be here in his pulpit one of these days. Get him to teach on the death soldier. Get him to teach on the death soldier. That's what we're talking about. See, Jesus, he's trying to get us past the happiness gospel. He's trying to get us to a warrior gospel. Where we challenge the little God, little G, God of this world. We start doing that showdown. I'm going to finish with this again. Remind you like we started. It's time. What God wants in the earth today is for that spirit of Elijah to rise up in His people. Where we're no longer content with word games and debates about who is God. But we'll start challenging religion. Start challenging the devil. Saying, Christians, how long will you be halt between two opinions? If religion is truth, we'll go that way. But if Jesus is Lord, let's go with Him. We'll pray, and the God who answers by fire, He is God, serve Him. Amen? Why don't you stand on your feet? We'll give the Lord a praise right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Now, let me say one other thing. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jim. You can be seated. Normally... By the way, what a nice turnout tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for coming. See, normally at this point, even, you know, every movement of God, every fresh move of God is a depart from tradition, is it not?
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, pretty soon we develop our own traditions, and then some group has to depart from us. See, at this point, I'm supposed to call a line. You know? And a lot of times we do. It depends on the service. It depends on what God's trying to accomplish. And many times this would be a time when we would either call people out by the Spirit of the Lord, and I've been listening and asking Him if He would want to do that, or sometimes He does want to call a line, and there's impartations and different things. This is not that kind of meeting. Sue, come here again, please. I need you, baby. Now, I've been married to this woman for 26 years. This is my wife. I can't give you... Now, how many of y'all have met her this week? Quite a few of you. See? So you've got to know Sue a little bit, right? But do you know, you don't have near the relationship with her that I do. We've got, our relationship is built on 26 years. I can't give you my relationship with her, can I? All right?
Thank you.
In the same way, just like you can't give me your, if some of y'all may know the Lord a lot better than I do, you can't give me your relationship with Him. I can't lay my hands on you and give you my relationship with Him. This is not those kind of meetings. This is a teaching to accountability meeting. And I believe the Lord's done an excellent job. I don't think anyone in here is confused about what to do. I can't impart something in you because God won't make you do anything. What He has imparted is knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You can't use that excuse after this week. You at least know how to start. And if you'll start with Him, all I'm really doing is, am I doing anything but pointing you to the Holy Ghost? That's all I'm really doing. Listen, if you'll go, He'll take you from there. He's the one, Jesus said, He's the one that'll guide you into all truth. He's the one. How many are tired of being like orphans? I'm tired of trying to figure out my own way. Thank God I'm going to go put my hand in the hand of the one sent to lead me through this world. Lead me into the path of God. That's all I'm really trying to do. And if you'll do that, I can't impart that to you. Hopefully the message imparted it to you. But if it'll just hook you up with Him, I have the utmost confidence. He'll take you by the hand. Lead you where you want to go. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Pastor Jim.